So I want to start the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. We'll work our way through some of the topics of beginning of Hilchos Pesach, and we will And I hope I'd like today, ready to get to something hands-on. The very first siman Hilchos Pesach, Tav Chav Tes, Yoram V'Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Brura, that's fine. But siman Tav Chav Tes, Shulchan Aruch Mishnah Brura, whatever presentation of Shulchan Aruch you like. Siman Tav Chav Tes, the beginning of Hilchos Pesach. And Tav Chav Tes touches two important topics. Number one is Sholem, the din that from Purim and on for the 30 days that precede Pesach is the time to learn in Yanei Pesach. I think I may have mentioned a couple weeks ago the Chizdai Kreskes, the great Jewish philosopher, one of the great philosophers among the Rishonim, Rebbe of the Baal Hamar, has short the Drasha on Pesach, where he opens with that line, which Shulchan Aruch opens with as well. And he suggests when the Gemara says Sholem V'Dorshin, the Gemara in the first paragraph of Pesachim, says that Gemara Daf Vav in Pesachim Pesachim says Sholem V'Dorshin, to ask questions and to be Doresh. Usually you assume that means asking Shilas. Dorshin means that you give Shirim. And Sholem means it's okay to ask Hilchos Pesach Shilas from Purim and on. It's not considered to be out of place. But the Chizdei Kreskes suggests Sholem V'Dorshin. Sholem means to investigate the halacha, and darshan means to investigate the hashkafa, the machshava, to understand the time of the kra, the ish questions of emuna, and the themes of Pesach. All those are true. You should go to shiurim, you should ask shilas, you should learn halacha, you should learn hashkafa. Whether it's the 30 days, one of the source for that, Mr. Brewer points out, according to the Gemara, that Moshe Rabbeinu is telling them Pesach time about Pesach Sheni. Okay, so you have a source for the month in advance. Whether this month in advance is something specific to Pesach or true for all Yom Tovim, they're supposed to start learning Hilchas Chanukah on Chafei Cheshvan. They're supposed to start learning Hilchas Purim on Yudalit or Tezvav Shvat. Tu B'Shvat, they're learning Hilchas Purim. So that's a matter of some question. There are those who say, no! Pesach has so much to do and so many dinim, so much to prepare. So that's why it's interesting. When they talk about so much to prepare, or we think of so much to prepare, we think, Kaktim Pesach. So when they said so much to prepare, they said, you have to kasher all the kelim, got to bake the matzahs. There were different preparations. The houses were smaller. You know that the houses were smaller because this is Ramah, and I'll tell you where it is. You can look it up yourself afterwards. You have to take my word for it. The very end of Siman Tav Lamed and Gimel, Tav Lamed and Gimel Sif Yud Aleph. Rama says, it's a good idea to sweep your house before Bedikas Chametz, on the afternoon of Yud Gimel. Bedikas Chametz this year, Yud Aleph Nisan is next week, Monday. Next week, Monday is Erev Pesach. Sunday night is Bedikas Chametz. So the Rama, the Mechaber says, even if you swept your house on Sunday afternoon, you're still mechuyav to do Bedikas Chametz that night. Rama says, yeah, it's a good idea. Everyone should sweep the house the afternoon before Bedikas Chametz. We engage in Pesach in most homes for more than an afternoon before. But that is a combination of several different factors. Sometimes people do go overboard in terms of Pesach clean. But at the same time, there's plenty more legitimate Pesach clean to do in our houses than that are Baruch Hashem spacious multi-room houses, as opposed to what the Rama lived in was a lot smaller and a lot simpler, and there was much less furniture, there was much less space, as most of their chametz was like in holes in the wall. That's where like they stuck food, and that was a major Bedikas Chametz issue, was like to go into like the little shelves or basically cracks in the wall to make sure you get all the chametz out. We live in a very different reality. The Baruch Hashem, with affluence, you have Baruch Hashem, a bigger house and more stuff. I don't know how many, they didn't have to check many of their cars. And the guys just came back from Poland, right? Sorry, wagons, right? Perhaps they had to check the wagons for chametz. Right, I'm not sure there were these cushioned leather seats that they were sticking their heads into to find all the Cheerios. Maybe the machmirim went to the wagon wash. The wagon wash and the days leading up to Pesach. Yeah. Exactly. Be that as it may, Be that as it may, so it definitely is a legitimate need for more, just many more hours of cleaning for Pesach. You have more stuff, more rooms, more cracks, more bins of things. There are more places to be looking for chametz. So it's gonna take obviously more time to clean for chametz, to clean out the chametz. So the classical posts can talk about both the practical preparation and learning for Pesach. There are a lot of hilchos Pesach, and there's a lot of practical. Again, either you're cleaning for Pesach or you're kashering all your pots and pans, because who can afford buy another set of pots and pans for Pesach? Who can afford that? No, they would spend hours, sometimes days, kashering everything for Pesach, and baking matzahs, and so on. So there's a lot of practical preparation to do. So that's a discussion post can have, is this idea of the 30 days kodem, is that like something unique to Pesach? Because Pesach, there's so much to learn and so much to do. But there are some indications, at least, that it might not be something unique practically to Pesach. There may be a general concept, you find it by Sukkah also, that 30 days before is when a Jew is mechuyev, to begin being doeg for a mitzvah. I know I have a mitzvah coming 30 days from now, so I have to 30 days before, and I'm already mechuyev to begin thinking about, you know, am I taking care of for that mitzvah? Some mitzvahs might not take much. Chanukah can come up in 30 days, there's not that much necessary to prepare. Maybe there is. Do I have to buy a box for my menorah? Do I have to buy a menorah? Do I have to buy oil? Do I have to buy wicks? But it's not that much to take care of. But before 30 days, I'm not mechuyev to be doeg for. Within 30 days, now after I begin to make sure, whatever a lot or a little preparation I have to do, make sure that point should be on my mind. That's what many understand, that the din of 30 days may be universal. It may not be just Pesach. It may not even be just Yom Tov. Maybe it applies to mitzvahs in general. Maybe it applies to Pidyon Aven. Maybe it applies to other mitzvahs, Bar Mitzvah, Lizman. If I'm, should I be learning Hilchos Mezuzah? Should I be thinking about taking care of my mezuzahs a month before I move in? Perhaps. Okay. The other din, which is not relevant, I assume, at this point in your lives, but will be relevant in the future, is the second time in a month there's a specific localized mitzvah of tzedakah. There's a general chiyuv tzedakah, the din d'oraisa pasach tiftach, a mitzvah d'oraisa to give tzedakah, to be responsive to needs of aniyim, to figure out, again, the ancient minhag Yisrael is to look at my budget and to see what my income and output is, and to figure out what constitutes ma'aser, and to have that ma'aser set aside so that I can be responsive to needs as they show up. Responsive needs as they show up, and to give as generously as as is appropriate for my budget to the local tzedakah organizations, the local gabbai tzedakah, that give out tzedakah in a wise, careful, discreet, and competent way. So that's a general year-round mitzvah d'oraisa. But then, Purim time, the specific mitzvah rabbanon, I don't have to do give tzedakah every single day. Certainly, since it's hilchos tefillah, certainly a valuable thing, to give tzedakah in advance of davening. If a person can give tzedakah before he davenes Shmoneh Esrei every day, matov manam. Usually, gavet tzedakah goes around by chedar sashatz. But if you're ahead of the game, you can give before davening. It's probably even better. To give in the middle of Kriya Shema, that's not right. That's why we give it during Pesukah to Zimran. So the minhag is specifically to by Rav David, where you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu really runs the world. And everything in the world, even though we feel like we earned our own money, that's illusory. As Rabbi Ribbono Shel Olam is empowering us to earn our own money, so that's a good time, an appropriate moment to give. So giving tzedakah is a very palpable reminder, right? That I earned the money, but ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's behind that. That's why it makes sense that he can demand of me to have to give. It's really his money. So giving tzedakah every day is a beautiful idea. Giving tzedakah before every Shmoneh Esrei is a beautiful idea. But I'm not mechuyev to give tzedakah every day. I am mechuyev to give tzedakah from time to time in response to needs. I'm mechuyev specifically to give tzedakah on Purim. And also, is it either chiyuv or a very ancient minhag Yisrael, to give kimcha de pischa or ma'os chitim, to give tzedakah generously in the days and weeks leading up to Pesach. Like we were talking about last week when learning Kuzri, to be sensitive to the needs of other people. So to recognize that there are people for whom paying for Pesach is even more complicated than it is for me. So I should, if I'm in the position to do this, I should give some money to help other people. So if you're not yet earning money, you don't even have money to give. But it's something important to file away as you step into join the club of people who earn a living and support themselves financially. So part of financial responsibility is setting aside some of that money to give tzedakah as generously as is appropriate, and in particular, to be particularly sensitive before Yom Tovim, and in particular, to be sensitive in advance of Pesach, to try to give tzedakah very generously. Someone mentioned to me the other week that there's a Rav in a Kehillah, not near where I live, a Rav in a Kehillah who is not bashful to encourage people to do mitzvahs. And apparently when people come for Mechiras Chametz, he says to them, no, you're going away home or you're away? They say they're going away for Pesach. He says, tell me how much you're spending on your family for Pesach. Like, how much you're spending to go away for Pesach? Or astronomical amounts of money. Like, okay, I want 10% of that for most people. And apparently he really, and he uses that money, raises very significant sums for most chitim, and the hundreds, probably thousands of people have their Pesach provided through that. But that's something to think about. That the idea of Moos Chitim, again, is a year-round concept of being sensitive, not to lose sight of other people's needs when I'm involved with my own. Okay. And Siman Taf Lamed, got moving on. So Shulchan Aruch talks about Shabbos HaGadol. Different explanations are given by Mefarshim, why we call it Shabbos. What is Shabbos HaGadol? Maybe it means the Great Nes, that the Klal Yisrael survived the end of the Mitzrayim, didn't attack them for setting aside the sheep as in preparation for it being a carbon or other ideas. The simplest explanation why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is that Shabbos HaGadol might be one of several Shabbosos throughout the year that is named for its laning. There are a couple of times that we, at least four times that we name a Shabbos for the Maftir, right? Shkalim, Shabbos Zachar, right? Hachodesh and Para. And then you guys were naming several Shabbos of the year when we name the Shabbos for not the Maftir, but the Haftarah. That's the Shabbos Shuva. Some refer to Shabbos Shuva, as in Aser Sinei Shuva. The main thing is Shabbos Shuva is Shuva Yisrael. Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos Nachmu, and Shabbos HaGadol. Because one of the highlight psukim in the Haftarah of Shabbos HaGadol, there's no special Maftir, but there's a special Haftarah. And Haftarah, at the end, it's the Haftarah is the second half of Malachi, the last parak and a half of Malachi. At the end, Malachi signs off, he was the last Nevi'im, that's our tradition. So he says, I'm the last Nevi'im, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now the ending of Vu until Eliyahu HaNavi, so he reminds the Jewish people, Zichron Torah's Moshe Avdi, the message of all the Nevi'im post-Moshe Rabbeinu, is to bear in mind the dinim and the values that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then he says at the end, I'm the last Navi until Eliyahu HaNavi. Hine Anocha Shalachachem is Eliyahu HaNavi. Malachi says, next time HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a Navi, it's going to be Eliyahu. Lifnei Bo Yom HaShem HaGadol VeHanora. Before the coming of the Yom HaShem, that great and awesome day, presumably a reference to Bidus HaMashiach. Now he talks to Heshav Lev HaSalman, Lev HaVostam, but some of the things that Eliyahu will accomplish. That's actually Gemara's at the end of Kiddushin. As we get to the end of Kiddushin, talks about what Kiddushin. Gemara references Mishnah is also. I think Gemara references in the Kiddushin. Yo is going to the Tanam debate elsewhere. What's Yo going to work on? The Mishnah at the end of Masachas Adios, I believe. Brian Mishnah has a debate about what Eliyahu is going to work on when he comes. The Mishnah references the Pasuk in the end of Haftar of Hagadol, the end of Malachi, is coming to be Meshul Evav Sabanim to create, to add to the Shalom. But it says there that he's coming before the great and awesome and somewhat frightening day of Bias HaMashiach. Yom HaShem HaGadol VeHanora. So some suggest it's like Shabbos Chazon, Shabbos Nachamon, Shabbos HaGadol. It's the Shabbos of Leila the Maftir, where we talk about Eliyahu coming before Bias HaMashiach, the day that Yom HaGadol VeHanor. So that's Shabbos again. And Shabbos HaGadol, obviously, the Shabbos that prepares us for the Yontif of Geula. So it is easy to understand why that very explicit Nevuah by Eliyahu HaNavi and Mashiach should be the Haftarah that brings us into what that prepares us for Pesach. The Ramah has a minhag that the Vilna Gaon does not like. What's the common minhag? How many people know? What's the common minhag on Shabbos afternoon? Yeah, saying the Haggadah. So maybe some of you know that the Vilna Gaon is vociferously opposed to it. Vilna Gaon l'shitaso. He said we should follow what the Tanaim and Rambam tell us. There's befeirish in the Haggadah that there's no mitzvah of Sipriyas Mitzrayim before Leil Pesach. Right, that's what we say. We quote that Mechilta there. I might think that you have to start the mitzvah for Rosh Chodesh. No, but Yom Ha'u only on that day. No, that doesn't mean the day of Pesach. Mean what we call Erev Pesach means that night. The night when you have matzah mo v'nachal v'necha. That the CPT is trying to be done in conjunction with the physical objects, the Pesach matzah mo. So that's what the Vilna Gaon said. He thought it was a mistake to engage in the saying the Haggadah any time before. Well, I'll say that. Presume, yeah. Okay. And then you come to the world of Bedikas Chametz. After going to talk about 30 days before, then talk about the Shabbos before, then Bedikas Chametz. So Bedikas Chametz is the opening Mishnah. It's the first din of Mesachas Pesachim. And the, right at the beginning, Rashi and Tosfos get involved in a vigorous machlokes, because why are we doing Bedikas Chametz? A very beautiful and famous and somewhat complex machlokes, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi seems to say that we're doing Bedikas Chametz to avoid Barav Elate. We want to make sure you don't violate Olin Chametz. You have to have a search and destroy process. You have Bedikas Chametz at night and Bir Chametz in the morning. And then the goal of Bedikas Chametz to get into Bir Chametz, we're going to discover and isolate all the Chametz so we can get rid of it. So it'll be out of the house, and that way you won't own it. And to make a long story short, Tosfos says, no. If it was just a matter of owning it, you would just do Bittul. The Gemara does seem to say that you can do Bittul, that's enough. So Bedikas and Bir Chametz is very complicated, very time consuming. Who needs to clean for Pesach? Just do Bittul. So there is a response to Tosfos makes it sound like if I just did Bittul, I'm my own Pesach, I have a chametz ridden house, but I did Bittul, it's not a problem. That requires some explanation. Rashi seems to say, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Bittul only works if it's like inaccessible chametz. Chametz I couldn't find, I can't do anything about, so then I do Bittul. But chametz is right there, why do you need Bittul? So that's... seems to relate to Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos whether Bittul is like a declaration that I'm not interested, or just a way of saying it's Hefker ownerless. So it says, okay, I'm done. And I'm Mafker the Chametz. So Tosfos says, so what's with the Bedikas Chametz? So either it's a way of making sure I don't own the Chametz, or maybe I could get rid of the ownership issue, but maybe the clean for Pesach has to make sure that I don't end up eating the Chametz. And that's what Tosfos suggests. And maybe Bedikas Chametz, the need to clean, essentially what we would call cleaning for Pesach, is to make sure all the Chametz that have my Rishus before Pesach is a Dinder Abadan, as a Gzeirah, says Tosfos, to ensure they don't end up eating Chametz on Pesach. And Tosfos says, and then the Ran, very beautiful Ran, made famous to some by the Yosef Engel, the Ran on the bottom of Aleph Amid Aleph, the Dapei Rif, the Ran beginning of Tzachim, says, yeah, it's not just the Chazal who made gzeros like Bedikas and Bedikas Chametz to ensure that we avoid eating Chametz. The Torah itself made a gzera to make sure we avoid eating Chametz. What gzera did the Torah make? The Torah made a gzera. Right. So Ron says, by Rabbi Moshe, who said you can't, what's this not owning Chametz? What's wrong with owning Chametz? What's wrong with owning Chametz? I don't know. No. Givaldi. What's wrong with the owning chametz? Amazing. Someone has a shulchan aruch. What's wrong with the owning chametz? So the Ran says, I'll tell you, after all, is there something, how many other things you're not allowed to own? And it's kind of about a zara. How many other things, there aren't that many other things you can't own? Most. So the Ran said, the Torah doesn't want you to own it, because if you're going to own it, you might come to eat it. And that's why Din HaTorah, you can't own the chametz. And if you're a banan, if you're going to figure out a way to do bittul, we want to get it out of the house. You've got to clean the house so that way you don't end up finding something, find the Krispy Kreme you had left the week before, right? And I was like, that's going to be very hard. So the Rishon discussed why dafka is it chametz more than any other, a lot of non, because there are 20, 25, 30 different types of categories of things that are not kosher. I'm allowed to own tray for meat. If I have a a cat or a dog, some other pet that has that's a carnivore. So I may have non-kosher animal food around the house. I'm allowed to own tarfus. It's a little strange. Randomly, well, why do you have non-kosher meat around your house? But if there's a good reason for it, you feed it to the cat. There's nothing wrong with owning something which isn't kosher. So all of a sudden, by Pesach, there is. That's the Rishon deal with it. Either because chametz is more just practically, some say it's halachically more chamer. Some say it's a practical point. I'm used to not eating bacon. I know the dog food hopefully is not too appetizing for human beings, and even if it's fresh meat, but I know non-kosher food, I've trained myself to, the difference is chametz is more problematic, because chametz is something that usually is kosher. I've not habituated myself to never eating chametz, the way I've habituated myself to never eating tarfus. The chametz was kosher last week, it's going to be kosher next week. For 1 week, it's treif. So that's why there's more of a need for a siyag. There may even be why the Torah imposes the siyag, a doraisa, of Bali Rabbi Matzah. And this, I mentioned Reb Yosef Engel, the great Polish Achron of the early 1900s, he has a long article where he says, some people think that Gzeros Siyagim, where something's usher to prevent you from doing something else, some people think that's only Drabanan. He says, that's wrong. Let me prove to you that Siyagim, that there are Siyagim Doraisa, and let me demonstrate it by giving you like 15, 20 examples. He maybe has 17 examples of Siyagim Doraisa, just to show you that in fact the Torah often will have Isurim Doraisa that are there to be a Siyag to something else. And one of his classic examples is this Ran, the Ran who says in Pesachim Daf Aleph that the Isur against Oyin Chametz is a Siyag Doraisa to eating Chametz, and that Chazal, in creating the din of Bidikas Chametz, we're following the pattern of the Doraisa. Okay, and Bidikas Chametz. Bedikas chametz has to be real, but before we close, we'll pick up next time some more with the issue of bedikas chametz and owning chametz. But I want to just pass these around because maybe some of you have seen things like this in the past, and you might be wondering what should I be doing with mechira chametz. So some of you may have seen these around your shul or around your house, and you may know that someone in your house, father, mother, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandparents, step-parents, shows up to shul to do something with a rabbi. And something happens, feel free to take, I'll correct my friend, unless you actually want to use it. Something happens with a rabbi, we sell a rabbi our chametz. I assume by now you figured out. You're long past the mistaken notion that the rabbi is Jewish also, he doesn't want to buy your chametz, he wants to get his chametz too. You know that what it is as it says across, in big words across that sheet, the power of attorney. You're just making the rabbi your, you're not selling the rabbi your chametz, you're making the rabbi your shaliach, you're making him your agent to sell your chametz to the non-Jew, John Brown or whoever else that non-Jew might be, on your behalf. There is no mitzvah of mechiras chametz, just to clarify. Mechiras chametz actually is a relatively recent phenomenon. It goes back to Mechiras Bechara Behemoth Bakaras. And it really started when Jews first began to own large amounts of non-perishable chametz. Again, before refrigeration, most chametz didn't really last. It wasn't going to last over the week anyhow. So what exactly is selling? Who was the first format in which Jews owned large amounts and large dollar amounts of non-perishable chametz? Exactly. The reason for that actually is a historical reason. In many parts of Eastern Europe, Jews were forbidden by local law from engaging in a wide variety of professions as part of the anti-Jewish persecution. In many locales, one of the few jobs that was allowed to Jews was to run bars and inns, and these are called kretschmers, which is why you had these ironic situation where it was often dafka the Jews who were running the bars. Their customers were not predominantly Jewish, but the ownership of bars in many parts of Eastern Europe for many centuries was. So, and again, if you can have a couple of barrels of whiskey, it could be thousands and thousands of dollars. And that stuff obviously does last. And the question became, what do we do with chametz? So one solution is, get rid of it. Another solution, maybe there could be a way that we could sell the chametz to the to a non-Jew for Pesach and see if he's willing to sell back to us after Pesach, or if the corpse of Pesach belongs to a non-Jew. Now, you have to ask yourself, though, what does that mean practically? What does that mean for my Cheerios? One thing should be clear. One question is, how does that work? And another question is why does the rabbi engage in six different kinyanim on Erev Pesach to sell the chametz to the non-Jew? Shouldn't one be enough? A third question is, why does the rabbi do this twice? Rabbi Neuberger and Arshul, Rabbi Neuberger is going to be going next Monday morning to sell chametz to John J. Brown. I'm going to be going next Sunday afternoon. If you want to join me, you certainly can. Next Sunday afternoon to be selling chametz to John J. Brown. Why are we doing it twice? And how is that relevant to you, depending on where you're going to be? And we will take up some of those questions, Mr. Shem, tomorrow. If you actually want to arrange with your assignments, hold on to this. Hold on to this for tomorrow. You call on to it, or you give it back to me? Anyway, I need a few. I got enough. I have enough to spare.